morning and welcome to Monday's Life Matters. We start this morning with the latest research from the Australia Institute on downshifting. Research last year from the Institute found nearly a quarter of adult Australians have downshifted over the past decade. A quarter, that seems extraordinary. Today's research looks at why they're doing it and how they feel about it. And to discuss it, I'm joined by Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute and also Julie Gale, who's actually done it. She now runs a bed and breakfast in northern Tasmania after having fled the rat race of Western Sydney. Welcome to both of you. Richard Dennis, just remind us what this word downshifting means.
Downshifting refers to when an individual makes a voluntary decision to lower their income in order to improve their quality of life. So we're quite used to hearing people referred to as aspirational, and the implication there is that the only thing to aspire to is a higher income. What our research has shown is that for, as you said, around a quarter of the population, there's actually an aspiration for a more balanced life. And to have a bit more time and better health.
Now, exactly how they approach this varies, doesn't it, as you learnt through these focus groups where you've looked more deeply at it. What are some of the varied strategies people use to improve their life?
Well, there's a wide range of different strategies that obviously suit many different people. But downshifting can mean anything from quitting your job and moving out of the city to set up a B&B, as our other guest has done, or it might just mean actually saying to the boss, "Look, I'm not going to work 60 hours a week anymore. I really only want to work 40. I'm happy to be paid less, but quite frankly, the time with my family is worth more to me."
Julie Gale, tell us about your decision. Why did you decide to leave Western Sydney?
Well, we had decided that we'd like to work together, be with our children and have more access to our children. In the city life, one tends to work far too hard, far too many hours, and that's the necessity of living in city life. We came to Tasmania for a holiday, and it was just quite an unusual experience, that it was really a fairy tale, that we came here for a holiday, fell in love with it, decided that we could work here, love here, and that's what we did, and it just all happened just like that.
Julie, is it possible to describe a classic experience of your Sydney life that was the sort of experience that made you think, golly, something's got to change?
Absolutely. My husband worked 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, and we, as a family, we never saw him. He might as well have worked 7 days a week, and something had to give. You might make lots of money working 6 or 7 days a week, generally in the city, but if you don't have a family and quality life, what good is money to you if you're not happy?
And what was it about your children? You mentioned they were central to your decision.
It's a difficult situation. It's a difficult question in the sense that I felt that my husband was not seeing the children growing and having the quality of time that one would like to have with their children. We have them for a very short time, and we decided to come to Tasmania, work together, running a bed and breakfast. That was just something that just sort of really fell into our lap. And we have our children, they know where we are and we know where they are, and we have the experiences to grow with them, and they have become very successful by moving to Tasmania.
In what way?
Well, we've got such quality of the arts here and education. We have schools and colleges as best that you'd get in Australia. We have universities, and everything is at your fingertips.
Where are you physically now? Are you in your B&B in Launceston?
I am, right next to the breakfast room, actually. I could hear the cutlery happening in the next room.
If I step outside, what do I see? What is your lifestyle like?
Well, our lifestyle is just beautiful. It's very clean air. Today is a little overcast, but generally our days are just to perfection. We live in a very temperate climate, and really, in winter, all we do is put on an extra layer and a coat. So the whole of Tasmania and its climate is lovely. We have our four seasons down here. Sometimes we see snow in winter on the mountains. You see the sculpture through winter of the leafless trees in the deciduous state. Our properties are filled with gardens. Everything's green. We would like a little extra rain down here, but there is a quality of life, and to me, quality means quantity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm grappling with my own reflection on my morning commute from Western Sydney this morning as I listen to you, but thank you very much. My guest on Life Matters this morning, Julie Gale, she's running the Currawong House Bed and Breakfast in Launceston, Tasmania, after deciding with her husband and children to downshift. And also with me, Richard Dennis, Senior Research Fellow from the Australia Institute, that's produced today some new research looking more deeply at why people do it. Richard, the description we've just heard of that decision, how does that gel with your focus group reports on why people are downshifting?
Well, certainly as a description of why, it's entirely consistent, and that is that, you know, people reach a point in their life, and a lot of people reach this point very early. There are a lot of people downshifting in their 30s, where they realise that, you know, they're very busy, they're earning a lot of money, they're told they're on the career track, and on from an outsider's point of view, everything appears to be going in the right direction. But when they wake up on Monday morning and think, I've got to go to work today, the sense of dread just begins to occur.
Now, the sense of a desire for balance and more personal contact with family, that came through very strongly in Julie's story. But in your research, you also discovered that a clash between personal values and the workplace values was another motivating factor.
Well, that's right. That we found that there were four main factors, and as you said, balance and family life being one of the first and most important. But a clash between personal beliefs and workplace beliefs was quite important for people, and by that, what they were telling us, what the people in the focus groups and the interviews were telling us, was that what they didn't like was going to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day and doing something that they didn't actually either believe in or even believe was right. They thought that they were dedicating the best parts of their life to something that they really didn't value at all, and they were giving up the things that they really did value to go there and do it.
So, Richard, why not just change job?
Well, that's what a lot of people do. I mean, it's wonderful to think about the Julie down there at Launceston this morning, and I think a lot of your listeners would be thinking, well, that's fantastic, but for whatever reason, I just can't do that. Well, 80% of downshifters don't actually move home. What 80% of downshifters do is either say to their boss, I want new work, I want less work, I want different work, or they change jobs, or they switch from a full-time job to a part-time job. So there's a lot of downshifting going on that doesn't actually take that sort of more radical sea change look of moving to the idyllic place and having an entirely different life.
And Richard, there was also a sort of Caroline Jones search for meaning aspect reported as well. What was that about?
Yes, a lot of our respondents said that they were looking for basically a more fulfilling life. Obviously, there's a link there between the disconnect between their beliefs and the workplace beliefs, but they just thought that there must be something more important and fulfilling that they could be doing with their time. And for a lot of people, what that involved was downshifting in terms of taking a pay cut to go and take a job, perhaps working in a non-government organisation or a smaller employer that much more accurately matched what it was that they thought was valuable in life, maybe helping other people or promoting a cause.
And were there any other major themes in the reasons for this decision that came through in your research?
Yes, the fourth one was better health. A lot of people downshift because of an adverse health event, either their own or someone close to them. So the classic, you know, unfortunately being people who are overstressed and overtired and not exercising, having a heart attack, or just getting a tap on the shoulder at the doctor one day saying, you just can't keep going like this.
Now, Julie Gale, your image of life in Launceston a moment ago was idyllic. Was it a tough transition? Is this the end product of a number of years of change that wasn't all easy?
Well, I agree. I totally agree what's being said.
I'm interested in what it was like making the change. Were there some hurdles you had to jump that were quite hard to handle?
Well, we had no idea what we were going to do. We came for a holiday and decided that to work together we would start a bed and breakfast because we'd had some lovely experiences in staying in Tasmania in bed and breakfast. And everything just sort of fell in our lap, really. It was something that was totally out of our character and what our professions were.
What were you doing before you went to Tasmania?
Well, I've always been a jack of all trades, really master of none, but my husband is a printer. He had done it for 20 years, decided that it really wasn't for him anymore. We wanted a quality of life where we had better health, which we do down here, and we have cleaner air, and we work 7 days a week running a bed and breakfast.
Well, that's what's so interesting to me. B&Bs are enormously intrusive on the personal life.
They can be and they can't be. The guests have their own private space. We have our time that we see our guests. We serve them breakfast of a morning, then they go off for the day. Our day is spent cleaning, and then after lunch we tend to have a few hours of quality time that we can do other things and can enjoy our lovely surroundings.
And how did your friends and family respond, Julie? Because it's a big move from Western Sydney to Northern Tasmania.
Certainly. Our family, I feel that they suffered more than we did, and in the fact that we moved somewhere that we felt that was just right for us. Tasmania might not be right for everybody, I think it is, but and with our easy access backwards and forwards now, we have 3 airlines with Jetstar starting in May. We have access to 3 airlines coming into Launceston, and we have 3 boats coming from the new one from Sydney. So the access to see family and in and out of Tasmania is much easier than it ever has been.
So do you have any regrets at all?
Not at all.
Well,
I don't know whether we'll stay doing what we do now for the rest of our lives, because we're still only in our early 40s. We're still young. I wished we had started this in our later days.
You could downshift to a small island off the coast.
Ah,
get even slower.
No, it's not at all slow.
Look, I'm only teasing you. I suppose what I find interesting, Julie, is I did spend a year of my life living on the mid-north coast of New South Wales, having been an urban rat for most of my adult life, and I managed to achieve a fairly similar level of mania and work in a rural setting. I mean, just going to the country alone isn't the key, is it?
No, it isn't. You have to go where you feel comfortable, and this was something so out of our character that we'd never done anything in hospitality before, and it just happened to fall, as I said earlier, fall in our lap, and we've had such wonderful support to get started in this field that we're involved in Tasmania, as tourism is our biggest market here and an increasing market. Guests come to Tasmania to experience just what we did, really, the
yes.
hospitality and...
And the clean air and relaxation. Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute, in your research, you did discover that there was some difficulties for some when they made this decision to downshift. What sort of problems did people encounter?
People experience a range of difficulties, and one of them is actually dealing with friends and family. We have a section in our report entitled Madness, Jealousy and Sympathy to sum up the reactions that a lot of downshifters have.
What do you mean madness?
Oh, a lot of people just can't understand why people would give up what appears to be, you know, the perfect life, the high income, you know, the expensive house and all those hours of work. From an outsider's perspective, what can look idyllic can actually be quite unfulfilling. So a lot of people who perhaps don't know you as well as you know yourself often think that downshifters are quite mad for making the choice that they do. So coping with friends and family is certainly an obstacle, or certainly a hurdle for people who downshift. And quite frankly, a lot of the downshifters confess to having difficulty dealing with the reduction in income. But what all of them say, and this was really quite interesting, what all of them said is that if they had any regrets, their only regret was that they hadn't have done it earlier.
Mm.
That it took a little while to adjust to the change in consumption. It took a little while to adjust sometimes to the reduction in status, that is the status that other people perceived they had, but of all the people that we spoke to in these in-depth follow-ups to our earlier work, the only regret was that they put it off for so long.
And what sort of common features did downshifters have? I mean, were they high-income people, well-educated people? Were there any common traits?
Well, when we first looked at this issue, we commissioned a survey, and that was where we found that 23% of people aged 30 to 59 had downshifted, and we were surprised to learn just how broad downshifting was. It came from people of all sorts of educational backgrounds, a broad cross-section of income, blue-collar workers, white-collar workers. In doing this more recent in-depth study, we've focused on people who've sort of done a more radical job of downshifting, a bit more like Julie's experience. Once again, in terms of demographics, it's hard to say that they all had something in common. But what they certainly had in common was a dissatisfaction with their life, which lots of people feel, but perhaps more importantly, you know, the courage to actually do something about it.
You know what would be great, Richard, is to interview the children next.
Oh, I agree. We've done some work on children recently, and this would be a good follow-up.
Well, you let us know when it's processed, because that'll be very interesting too. But look, thank you very much to both of you, even though it has been slightly cruel on a Monday morning to hear Julie Gale in northern Tasmania, who downshifted from Western Sydney. But thank you, Julie, and best of luck with your new life. Currajong House Bed and Breakfast, Launceston, clearly a place to go. And thank you to Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute, reporting on the latest research released today on downshifting. You're listening to Life Matters with Julie McCrossan here on ABC Radio National.